peace be with you, brothers and sisters. In the children's song that we were singing before, it tells us that God created this wonderful world. And every creation has its unique characteristics and their way of life. Not sure if you've seen this type of animal before. It's called a chameleon. It can change its color to suit its environment. When it's on the leaf, it can turn to green. And when it crawls to the bark, then it changes to a different color. Sometimes people can be similar to chameleons. Of course, we do not change our skin color. Rather, we change our behavior in accordance with our environment.
今天我们刚才所听的一段圣经当中，保罗讲述了一件事件，在这件事件里面呢。 彼得就变成了变色龙，而受到了保罗的指责。
In the Bible passage today, Paul talks about an event in which Peter became a chameleon, and then he was rebuked by Paul.
这是一件彼得去安提厄教会的时候所发生的一件事情。
This is an event that happened when Peter went to the church in Antioch.
在经文的12节告诉我们，当彼得到了安提厄。 他和当地的外邦人的信徒呢，就一起吃饭。In
verse 12, it tells us when Peter arrived at Antioch, he ate with the Gentiles.
但当其他的从耶路撒冷来的那些犹太人来到的时候呢，他就从外邦人中退出来，和外邦人分开了。But
when the other men came from Jerusalem, he drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles.
因为他们认为外邦人是 不洁净的,
because according to the tradition of the Jews, they're not allowed to eat with the Gentiles because they're unclean.
如果和不洁的人一起吃饭呢，也会染上不洁。
And if you eat with unclean people, then you'll also be tainted.
当然还有一个有关食物的因素在里面。
There's also another reason related to food.
当时候呢，在市场上面去买到的肉啊。 很多已经是经过献祭给各种各样的神了。At
that time, a lot of meats available at the markets were leftovers from offerings to various gods.
而犹太律法呢，是不容许吃献祭过给其他的神的食物的。And
the Jewish law does not permit Jews to eat meats that have been offered to other gods.
而与外邦人一起吃饭的时候呢，会有不能够分辨那个食物是不是被献祭过这个危险。
So eating with the Gentiles will put the Jews at the risk of consuming meats that were previously offered to other gods.
这一些呢，都是犹太人的律法和传统。These
are all part of the Jewish tradition and their laws.
而犹太人的教义就是守律法就能得救。And
the doctrine of the Jews is that they will be saved if they obey the law.
彼得是犹太人，他很清楚犹太人的文化。Peter
is a Jew and he is well aware of their traditions.
而他也是跟随耶稣的第一批的使徒，他明不明白，当耶稣降生之后，信耶稣的人不再是靠律法而得救呢？
And at the same time, he is also one of the first few followers of Christ. But does he understand that after Christ's birth, believers are no longer relying on obeying the law in order to be saved?
也就是说，我们问彼得，他会不会不明白因信称义这一个道理呢？
Perhaps he doesn't understand the concept of being justified by faith.
但当我们看《使徒行传》第10章的时候，那里记载了彼得看见的一个异象。In
Acts chapter 10, it talks about Peter seeing a vision.
在那里呢，讲到彼得祷告的时候，看见天上降下了一块大布，里面呢有各种各样四足的那个牲畜，还有很多昆虫和飞鸟。
While he was praying, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air.
接着呢，又有声音出来叫彼得说：“宰了这些来吃。”
Then a voice told him, "Get up, kill and eat."
啊，但是这些食物呢，都是犹太的律法禁止犹太人吃的食物，都是不洁的。
But these creatures are all forbidden to be eaten according to the Jewish law. They are unclean.
犹太人有关食物条例的这个功能呢，就是要把犹太人和不是犹太人给分别出来。
Food consumed by the Jews in accordance with the Jewish law is a way of separating the Jews from the Gentiles.
那我不详细讲这一次的异象，而我只讲这一次的异象呢，让彼得很清楚的明白知道得救。不在乎是不是犹太人，或者是不是吃了不洁的食物，或者是与不洁的人接触，他都很明白。
This particular vision is enough to tell Peter that not only the Jews can be saved, and it's not dependent on what food you eat, and whether it's clean or not, and it does not depend on interacting with unclean people.
那也就是说，自从那一次以后，彼得应该是非常的清楚，人的得救是因着靠耶稣、信耶稣，而不是守律法。
It is to say that after this particular event, Peter clearly knows that the only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus rather than by obeying the law.
问题是为什么彼得清楚这一点，但是在安提柯教会的时候，他又不能在行为上和他的信仰有一致性呢？
So why is it that his actions are inconsistent with his beliefs at the church in Antioch?
这不是因为他不明白这个道理，而是当其他守律法的犹太人来到的时候，他受到了压力。
It's not because he doesn't understand, but rather it's because it's due to the peer pressure that he received from the Jews.
这种压力啊，不是别人告诉他要怎么做的这样的压力，而是一种文化的压力，一种朋辈之间的压力。
His pressure does not come from people telling him what to do, rather it comes from differences in culture and peer pressure.
这种的压力呢是无形的，看不见的，但是能感受得到的。
This form of pressure is intangible, it can only be felt.
彼得就屈服在这一种的压力之下，他把自己也假装成一个近前的犹太人，而不与外邦人一起来吃饭。
Peter gave into this pressure and pretended to be a devout Jew by not eating with the Gentiles.
当然了，如果我们读过圣经的话，我们也知道彼得是有前科的。
If we've read the Bible before, then we'll realize that Peter had a previous history.
他曾经三次不认主。
He once denied Christ three times.
那所以这样的跌倒也不会使人很惊奇。
Therefore, his particular fall in this case is not hard to believe.
或许今天我们做基督徒的也会有这样的经历。
Perhaps, as Christians today, we share similar experiences.
我们知道基督徒该如何的生活。
We know how Christians should live.
但当我们一旦进入这个社会，要和那些非基督徒来打交道的时候呢，我们也假装跟他们是一模一样的。
But when we encounter non-Christians in society, and we try to follow their ways in order to fit in.
我们惧怕自己被这个社会、这个群体所孤立。
We're scared of being singled out by society, by this group.
而在这里，彼得的做法，他带来了非常严重的后果。
Peter's actions brought upon severe consequences.
彼得是当时教会的重要领袖，在他身上的这一些出现这种的行为的时候，别人也会跟随着。
Peter was an important leader at the church, so when he started behaving this way, others followed.
十三节说，其余的犹太人也和他一样假装，甚至连巴拿巴也受了影响，跟着他假装。
It says that the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray.
本来这种压力来了，影响着彼得。
Originally, this pressure only affected Peter.
最后呢，彼得自己也变成了这一种的压力，就影响了别的人。
In the end, Peter became a part of this pressure and started influencing other people.
这是一种隐性的压力。
This is a type of hidden pressure.
他看不见，他却可以像猪流感一样的传染给别人，使人能够跌倒。
It cannot be detected, but it can be like a common cold passing from one person to the next, forcing other people to fall as well.
如果把这样的情况放到我们今天做基督徒的时候啊，今天我们在社会上有意无意的去假装自己的身份，把基督徒身上那种的特征给去掉的时候，会带来什么后果呢？
What do you think will happen if in this day and age Christians disguise their identity regardless whether it's intentional or unintentional?
起码我能够想到两个影响。
I can at least think of two possibilities.
第一，别人不再能够从我们身上看见耶稣了。
Firstly, others can no longer see Christ's image through us.
第二，我们也不能在这个世上做光做盐了。
And secondly, we can no longer be the salt and light of this world.
我们如何能够胜过这样的隐性的这种的群众压力呢？而不至于像彼得一样掉进这一个陷阱里面呢？
So how can we beat this pressure and not fall into the same traps as Peter once did?
我想首先我们得理解一下这种群众的压力，隐性的压力，它的来源是怎么样的，怎么样形成这种的压力给我们的。
Firstly, we must know how this pressure is formed, the source of the pressure.
隐性的群众压力啊，多数都来自于两个源头。
This hidden pressure most often than not comes from two sources.
第一呢，就是自我地位的一种的认知。
Firstly, it's a recognition of oneself.
我记得我在小时候啊，读幼儿园的时候呢，就要学习叫这个口号"毛主席万岁"。
I remember when I was in primary school, I had to learn to say "Long live Chairman Mao."
请不要用这个去猜我几岁。
Don't use this to guess my age.
我估计我那个时候很小，我也不太清楚毛主席到底是干什么用的。
At that time, I was really young, and I didn't even know who he was.
但是，当和其他的小朋友一起玩的时候，都这样的要叫几句。
But when playing with other kids, we all had to call this out a few times.
直到后来我记得进到小学的时候啊，放学的时候还会和几个同学在田间这个追逐的时候大喊着"毛主席万岁，毛主席万岁"。
Even when I got into primary school, after school, while playing with some of the other kids on a farm, we had to say "Long live Chairman Mao."
直到有一次，一个路人啊，在途中叫我们停！你们不能够再叫毛主席万岁了。
Until one time, a stranger on the street told us that we can no longer call out his name.
因为他已经死了，现在你们要开始叫华主席万岁。
Because he has passed away, and now you have to start calling "Long live." Chairman Hua.
虽然我那时候也不知道华主席是干什么，但是对我们来说分别不大，就是改一个字而已嘛。
And at the time, I didn't know who this new person was, but it didn't really make a big difference. All I had to do was just to change their name.
那之后我们就改口号了，是吧？不断的叫华主席万岁。
And after that, we kept on calling out "Long live Chairman Hua."
不是别人逼我叫的，那时候我想我太小了，没有人去逼我们有这样的口号要叫出来。
At the time, no one forced me to say it, not at that age anyway.
但是呢，那时候会觉得自己如果不叫的话呢，我就会和我的朋友们有点不一样啊，与我的生活圈子会有脱节。
But at that time, I thought if I don't say this, then I will be singled out by my friends.
我就会和这个圈子啊。在这个圈子里面失去了一个我自我的位置。
And I'll lose my position in my friendship circle.
然后我们教会很多小孩子，当我们看见他们在一起玩的时候，也会看到年龄小的呢，很多时候会跟着那个年龄比较大一点的，跟着他们的动作啊、动静啊、或者是言语。
Often we see kids playing together, and the younger ones will try to imitate the older ones, whether through their actions or speech.
这就是一种的隐形的影响压力。
This is a type of hidden pressure.
成年人也会一样的。
Adults also act the same way.
只是没这么明显而已。
But it's not as obvious.
我们都来自某一个文化背景或者是生活在某一个群体里面。
We all come from a particular culture or live in a particular social group.
当我们想在这个群体当中保留自己的地位的时候呢，我们就要表现出这个群体当中的特征。
When we want to remain in this social group, our behavior will have to reflect the characteristics of this group.
我们讲到彼得知道因信称义的道理，他明白守律法与跟外邦人一起吃饭，这个不是福音的真理。
Peter knows about the concept of being justified by faith. He knows that by refusing to eat with the Gentiles, it is not supported by the gospel.
所以他一来到安提阿教会的时候，他就与当地的信徒是一起吃饭的。
So as soon as he arrived at Antioch, he ate with the Gentiles.
但是当他生活的群体，就是一群的犹太人来到的时候呢，这个无形的群体压力使他改变了。
But when he saw a group of Jews approaching, peer pressure forced him to side with the Jews.
这就是压力的来源。
This is where the pressure comes from.
好，还有一个压力的来源是怎么样呢？就是一个人的人生目标不清楚。
Secondly, this pressure can be the result of a lack of a clear focus in life.
当自己的人生目标不清楚的时候，很多时候只会随波逐流，跟着别人走。
If you don't have a clear focus or purpose in life, then you'll be easily swayed by other people.
这样的情况很多时候会出现在年轻人的身上。
This trend is particularly common amongst young people.
当一个没有自己人生目标的年轻人在一群人中间的时候呢，他的大多数的决定都是跟随着其他的人。
When a young person without a clear intent in life joins a group, his or her decisions will be largely influenced by the decisions of the group.
我在看了一个调查，里面讲到年轻人呢，在以下的这几方面的互相影响是最大的。
According to some research, young people are most influential in the following areas.
第一个呢，就是他们的服装打扮。
Firstly, it's the way they dress, the way they present themselves.
接着呢，还包括他们选择哪一类的男朋友或者女朋友。
And then it's their choices, in terms of boyfriends and girlfriends.
或者是会影响到他们选择谁可以做我的朋友。
And it also influences, who they choose to be their close friends.
还有学习成绩也是一样的，好的一起好，坏的一起坏。
As well as academic results.
还有喝酒啊。
And alcohol.
甚至是毒品。
Even drugs.
这些都是受群体的影响。
All of these decisions are influenced by their social circle.
那我想如果你的孩子啊，你有孩子已经是就到了这个阶段或者已经过了，你会很有亲身的感受啊，这些孩子怎么样走这些的路。
If you have a child who has already gone through puberty, then you'll know what these experiences are.
其实有些年轻人他不一定喜欢做这些事情。
A lot of the times these young people do not necessarily enjoy what they're doing.
但只是因为他们缺乏了一个很清晰的人生目标或者是一个生活的准则，所以他们不知道自己想要什么。
But it's because they lack a clear purpose in life.
所以呢，他们就只会随波逐流，做大多数朋友正在做的事情。
Therefore, they don't know what they want to do, and they will follow the majority and the trends.
最常见的，当然我们知道，打游戏啊，喝酒啊，甚至是吸毒。
Such as playing online games, alcohol, or even drugs.
有一位年龄非常之大的婆婆啊，我们叫女人瑞啊，她在她快110岁生日的时候，人们问她你有什么盼望。
There once was a very old lady, and on her 110th birthday, people asked her what her birthday wish was.
老婆婆说她已经没有什么盼望了，因为已经这么年龄大了。
She replied she can no longer think of any wishes.
那人们问他，好像问不出什么答案，就于是再去在这个 party 里面呢，找一个10来岁的小女孩问他了，如果你像这位老婆婆一样能够活到100多岁的时候，你会开心吗？
And then the guest asked a teenage girl if she would be happy living as long as this old lady.
那个女孩子说，好，当然开心了，在那个时候我就不会再有 peer pressure 了。
And then the girl replied, yes, of course, because by then I'll have no more peer pressure.
那 peer pressure 呢，我们中文呢就可以翻译作这个趋同心压力，这个很学术的名字。
Peer pressure can be interpreted as a type of pressure that comes from your friends or colleagues.
那这当然了，110岁的老人他的这种的同心压力都全死光了，剩下他了，他就没有这种身边的压力了。
So as for the old lady, all of her peers and colleagues have all passed away, so therefore she'll have no more peer pressure.
不要以为只有这么年轻的年轻人才会有这种的 peer pressure。
Don't think that only young people are affected by peer pressure。
今天我们的成年人也一样，被外界影响着我们人的行为。
Adults are also influenced by their surroundings。
我们也讲过这种的外界的压力，它是隐藏的更深。
But this pressure is hidden deeper inside of them。
在我们生活的时代当中，各种各样的报纸、电视、媒体不断的在告诉你你应该怎样做。
In our daily lives, we constantly have newspapers and media telling us what to do.
它告诉你瘦的女性才是美的。
It tells us that only skinny girls are beautiful.
它告诉你没有房子车子的男人是没用的。
It tells us that guys without cars or houses are useless.
当然它也常常地告诉你财富就是你人生最大的目标。
It tells us that gaining wealth should be your greatest goal in life.
这种隐性的压力，外界的群体压力会改变人的行为。
These external pressures can change a person's behavior.
作为基督徒，今天的基督徒，我们可能像2000年前的彼得一样，我们就生活在这一种的张力里面。
As Christians today, we might be like Peter from 2000 years ago, living under all sorts of pressure.
星期天，我们是一个充满温柔爱心的基督徒，因为我们知道我们应该这么做。
On Sundays, we're loving Christians because we know that we should behave this way.
而且来到教会当中呢，教会也有隐性的压力啊，这个压力也改变我们，因为教会每一个人都这么属灵，所以我们也这么属灵。
And at the same time, hidden pressure from the church forces us to behave this way because all the other devout Christians at church act like this, so we should also aim to be like this.
但是一回到工作上面，我们就会变成另一个人。
But once we return back to work, we change into a different person.
或许这一些你都深有体会。
Perhaps you're already very familiar with these experiences.
很多基督徒某程度上都有这种的精神病，所以我把这个名字放作我们今天的讲到的题目，叫做属灵人格分裂症。
We can say that on certain levels, all Christians possess these psychological issues, which we can call spiritual schizophrenia.
这是一种属灵的病，有什么方法可以帮助我们去治好我们这样的属灵的人格分裂症呢？
This is a type of spiritual disease, so what can we do to treat it?
保罗在今天经文当中的19和20节提供了答案给我们。
Paul provides us the answer in verses 19 and 20.
首先保罗说，我因律法就像律法死，叫我可以像神活着。
Firstly, Paul says here, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God.
对当时的犹太人来说，律法就是他们隐性的压力。
For the Jews, in that particular period, the hidden pressure comes from the law.
彼得就是在这种律法的隐性压力之下跌倒的。
And Paul had fallen as a consequence of the pressure generated from the Jewish law. Sorry, Peter had fallen.
但是我们用彼得和保罗来比较一下，彼得是当时的一个渔夫，保罗的背景是当时的法利赛人，所以应该律法对保罗的压力比彼得更大。
And Peter was a fisherman at the time, whereas Paul was a Pharisee, which means that the pressure should have been greater on Paul than as compared to Peter.
而保罗在这里就把他能够胜过这一种无形的压力的这种的秘诀告诉了我们。
Paul has told us the secret of how he can overcome this external pressure.
就是要向律法死。
It is to die to the law.
为什么要向律法死？
Why should we die to the law?
因为作为犹太人，总想自己在自己的传统里面，在自己的群体当中，在自己的国家里面有一席之地。
Because as a Jew, you always want to and hope to reserve a place in your social group.
这是一种自我身份的表达和保护。
It's a way to express your status and a way of protecting yourself.
或者说我们在内心的深处，我们不愿意去放弃自己在群体当中的这种自我形象啊，或者是自我的位置。
Deep down inside, we don't want to abandon our image or status in our community.
耶稣在路加福音14章里面告诉我们，你们无论是什么人，若不撇下一切所有的，就不能做我的门徒。
Now Jesus tells us in Luke, it says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple.
耶稣讲的一切所有的，包括了自我中心和自我思想上的一种的牵挂。
All of your belongings mentioned here includes your self-centeredness and your concerns and worries.
律法是保罗、彼得和所有犹太人心中的牵挂。
The law is something that Paul and Peter have to be mindful of.
它会形成压力，影响人的行为。
It can become a source of pressure influencing a person's behavior.
除非一个犹太人向律法完全的死去，不然他会在他的这个心里面影响着你。
The law will no longer influence a person once they have died to the law.
只有你这样的向律法死去的时候，人才能够放下心里面的牵挂，完全的归向神。
By doing so, people will be able to abandon their concerns and turn to God.
今天对我们来说，什么是我们的隐性压力呢？
So for people, for us today, what are the different types of hidden pressures?
它肯定不会是律法，因为我们不是犹太人。
It's no longer the law because we are not Jews.
所以我们向律法死是没有用的。
Therefore, for us to die to the law, it doesn't apply to us.
但有其他的因素会使会成为我们的隐性压力，使我们患上这一种的属灵人格分裂症。
But there will be other factors pressuring us and causing us to be infected by spiritual schizophrenia.
它可能是你的朋友们，因为他们都赚很多的钱。
It could come from your friends because they all make a lot of money.
对年轻人来说，可能是上网啊、打游戏啊，或者是去卡拉 OK 啊，因为你的朋友们都在玩，都在做这些事情。
And for young people, it could be the internet, online games, karaoke, because all of your friends are doing it.
你的是什么呢？你的隐性压力是什么呢
？What's your hidden pressure?
可能我们每个人都不一样。
It's different for each and every one of us.
但是我们要去找出这一个原因，然后我们要坚决地跟这个原因说不。
We have to find the source and say no to it.
我们要告诉这个原因，告诉他说，我要向你死去，使你不能够再影响我。
And tell it that we'll die to it so that it'll no longer affect us.
这就是保罗所说的，向律法死，才能够向神活。
Such as when Paul said, I die to the law so that I might live for God.
保罗接着再提出第二个治疗属灵人格分裂症的一个方法，就是在二十节这里讲到，我已经与基督同钉十字架，现在活着的不再是我，乃是在基督里活着。
Paul then suggests another treatment. In verse 20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
这里有两个重点在这句话里面，第一个是与基督同钉十字架，这个意思也是 要与基督联合。
Now there are two focal points in this passage. Firstly, it says to be crucified with Christ, which means to be united with Christ.
第二个在里面讲的是要与基督一同的死亡，一同的复活，这样才有全新的生活，一个生命是完全有基督掌管的生命。
And secondly, to die together and be resurrected brings new life so that we can let Christ to be the controller of our life.
这句经文里面也告诉一基督徒，每一个基督徒人生的目标明确的只有一个，就是更像耶稣，没有其他的，只有一个明确的人生目标。
And this also gives us a clear focus in our lives. Which is to follow Jesus because there is no other way.
当然这里讲到的这些更像耶稣啊，复活死亡都是一些的意象，那实际上面我们要怎么样行动呢？
So what practical things can we do?
我给一些的建议给大家。
I have some food for thought for each of you.
教会是基督在地上的代表。
The church represents Christ on earth.
与基督联合，这里经文讲的意义啊，与基督联合就是完全的来参与教会的信仰生活。
So to be united with Christ is to fully participate in church life.
我们不要以为所有的这种的隐性的群体压力都是负面的。
Don't think that all of these pressures are negative.
每件事情都有正面负面。
There are pros and cons in everything we do.
如果这种的压力是来自于我们这个信仰群体的话，很多时候它可以是正面的。
If peer pressure comes from our Christian group, then a lot of the times it can be positive pressure.
这也是为什么我常常跟家长们说啊，不要让你们的孩子啊，以为去教会崇拜或者去团契是可去可不去的，是可以选择的。
And this is why I often tell parents, don't let your kids think that it's optional coming to church.
当孩子们啊从小就在这一个群体中成长，他看自己是这一个群体的一部分的时候，他才会被这个群体的正面的影响压力啊这样的去影响他。
Children growing up in church will feel that they are part of the church and will be positively influenced by the Christian community.
相反的，如果他是来一次不来一次的话，他根本就没有对这个群体有认同感、有归属感，他没有。
So at the same time, if they choose to come and go, then they'll think that this is an acceptable behavior at church.
结果呢，就是教会的文化这种正面的影响压力也不会影响到他，因为他根本就不属于这个群体。
And therefore, all the positive things at church will not influence them.
他不属于这个群体，他总会属于一个群体的，他就会被其他的外界的朋友啊、同学们所影响了。
Because they feel like they're not part of these groups, but then they still have to belong to another social group, and often they're influenced by their friends at school.
对成年人一样的，如果没有一个长期稳定的教会生活的话，就等于没有与基督的身体联合。
Adults act the same way. If they don't have a stable church life, then they are not united with Christ.
如果是这样的基督徒在他身上面的这种属灵人格分裂症呢，是治不好的。
They will not be able to treat their spiritual schizophrenia this way.
你只有与基督联合，就是完全投入信仰生活、教会生活，这才是一个良方良药。
The only way to treat spiritual schizophrenia is to be fully involved at church and be united with Christ.
另外一个建议大家的是，怎么样可以使自己活着的不再是我，乃是基督在我里面活着呢？
Another suggestion is how we can stop living out our own image and start living Christ's image.
所谓的人格分裂症呢，就是一个人啊，活在两个或者更多的不同的世界里面。
Spiritual schizophrenia develops from one person living in two separate worlds.
很多时候是一个是属灵的，一个是属世的。
And often, one is spiritual and the other worldly.
这也是很多基督徒正在面对的问题。
This is a problem baffling a lot of Christians today.
我们把工作、生活、家庭、信仰都分开。
They separate their work, family life, and their beliefs.
因为大家都认为嘛，我有信仰，但是我有信仰不能没饭吃啊，我有信仰也不能没有家庭啊，我有信仰也不能不去享受啊、旅游啊、消遣啊。
Because they argue that their beliefs cannot replace their food on the table, their family, or their enjoyment and pleasures in life.
所以呢，把自己的时间分配为工作的时间、教会的时间、家庭的时间、娱乐的时间等等等等。
Therefore, they divide their time into work time, church time, and family time.
在这种不同的时间段里面呢，就以不同的面貌出现。
And they'll have different personas during each time frame.
这就引起了人格分裂症了。
This is what causes schizophrenia.
这也是我自己的曾经的经历。
And this is one of my previous experiences.
我曾经有一段时间呢，把我的时间表分得非常的仔细。
For a period of time, my timetable was clearly divided.
在我的工作时间里面，我不会去想我信仰的事情。
During work, I would not think about my belief.
在我教会啊给教会的这段时间里面呢，我也不会去想我工作的事情。
And when I'm at church, I do not think about my work.
我以为这样的话呢，我就可以保证自己有一部分时间是肯定给神的。
I thought that by doing so, I was giving a part of my time to God.
但最后我发现这样是错的，这样会使我有人格分裂症。
But in the end, I realized what I was doing was wrong, and this would cause schizophrenia.
这个错误不在时间表的安排上面，而是对时间表的观念上面出错了。
My mistake was not the way I planned my timetable, rather it was in the relationship between each activity.
当我们与基督同死，与基督同复活的时候，我们所有的时间都是基督的。
When we are crucified with Christ and resurrected with Him, all of our time should belong to Him.
因为现在活着的不再是我。
Because I no longer live.
在时间表上的项目没有变。
The content of my timetable hasn't changed.
但是在里面工作的时间不应该是属于老板的。
But my work time does not belong to my boss.
教会的时间也不是应该属于牧师的。
And my church time does not belong to my minister.
读书的时间也不是属于自己的。
And my study time does not belong to myself.
一切的工作时间都是属基督的。
All of these things belong to Christ.
不论是我们的工作、读书、家庭，或是在教会侍奉，都是属于基督的。
Regardless of whether we're studying, working, spending time, or serving at church, all of these things belong to Christ.
只是神在我们在基督里的时候，我们的身上有不同的身份或者不同的工作而已。
Only that when we're serving God, we have different tasks to complete.
但是不论是做什么工作，什么时间里面，我们都要向基督来交代。
We have to answer to Christ in all that we do.
这样的话，我们就不会有这种的属灵人格分裂症了，因为我们是属于一个生活，一个目标，那就是基督。
By doing so, we'll no longer experience spiritual schizophrenia because in all that we do, it belongs to the same life and we answer to the same God.
弟兄姐妹，在现在的日子当中，你有没有一种说不出口的压力？这些压力常常会让你觉得做基督徒很累呢？
Brothers and sisters, do you have any hidden pressures in your life? Does it make you feel that it's difficult to serve God?
你会不会觉得服侍上帝做的事情有时候有气无力的很软弱的呢？
Does it make you feel that you don't have the strength to serve God?
我常常觉得在圣经当中保罗他是一个很严格的老师。
I often think that in the Bible Paul is a strict teacher.
他常常在他的书信里面教导我们，我们应该怎么做，我们不应该做什么。
And he teaches us what we should and should not do.
而彼得呢？我觉得保罗是老师，但是彼得更像是我的兄弟一样。
And as for Peter, I consider him to be more like a brother to me.
因为他就像我们一样在属灵的路上面不断的跌倒，爬起来，向前走，然后又跌倒，又爬起来，继续的走。
Because he is like us, who has fallen again and again on the spiritual path, and then he gets up, walks forward, and then falls again.
当你真的觉得今天你有这种的压力有这种的张力的时候，盼望今天的经文能够帮助我们，只要我们不失去方向，我们也会像彼得一样，能够跌倒站起来，最终走到终点。
I hope that the scriptures today will be able to help you when you start to experience these types of pressures. And if we do not lose our way, we'll be like Peter and reach our final destination.
盼望今天保罗对彼得的提醒能够帮助医治我们在信仰生活上的毛病。
And I hope that Paul's reminders for Peter will correct our shortcomings in our spiritual life.
Amen.
Amen.